It's so exciting to see the work that you are doing all over the world. Lord, you are making disciples. You are binding up the brokenhearted. You're liberating captives. You're doing it all so that Jesus Christ can be lifted up, Lord. And we thank you for the work that we see you building, God, here in Portland and, Lord, in Rwanda. And so this morning, Lord, I pray as a church you'd open up our ears, Lord, and that we would learn, Lord, how to set our hands to the task that you've given us here at River West. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Can you guys give Pastor Charles just a warm welcome here?
Thank you. Thank you very much for the, thank you for your warm welcome. It's exciting to be here. My name is Charles. My middle name is Mugisha, and my last name is Bulejea. Chris makes it easy, just says Pastor Charles. And that's enough. I am married. My wife is behind there. We have four children. We have a 12-year-old, 8, 7, and 10 months. So we really praise God for the opportunity of raising those children to know him and to serve him. I come from the nation of Rwanda. Some of you have heard of Rwanda. Rwanda is right in the center of Africa. And in 1994, a big tragedy happened in the country of Rwanda when in 90 days, 1 million people were killed. In 90 days. During that time, the country of Rwanda was about 7 million people. So you can imagine over 10% of the population was killed. I personally was able to survive because what happened in 94, the genocide in 94, had started long ago in 1959. And both of my parents left the country. So we grew up as refugees in the country of Uganda. And after the genocide in 1994, my dad returned to Rwanda right at the end of it. In 95, I also came to Rwanda following my father. When I arrived in Rwanda, my life was totally torn apart because dead bodies were still smelling everywhere. A country totally destroyed and very hopeless people. This time, I was a Christian, and I'd become a Christian at the age of 17 in Uganda, where I had the gospel and gave my life to Jesus Christ. In fact, I was the first person in my entire family tree to become a Christian, and on my village to become a Christian. And I had heard the gospel from a guy who had the gospel from some people who preached the gospel in the city and had come from Vancouver, Canada. And these missionaries had shared the gospel with them. And this guy left the city and went very deep in the village and planted churches there. That's how I'd come to Christ. Now, back in Rwanda, and I'm a Christian. Christian in the middle of death and hopelessness. During that time, I was asking God, what do you want me to do? So I went back to my church in Uganda, and I started doing some missions to Rwanda. And all I would do is to go preach and get out. Preach and get out. But finally, I felt that it's good to preach, but how about the orphans? How about the children who go without food? How about the children who are growing up without an opportunity to go to school? So God started giving me this burden to move from Uganda and go to Rwanda and start a ministry and live there. So we started preparing ourselves. At that time, I was in Bible college with my wife as we were beginning to prepare ourselves. Now remember, After graduation, I was so excited. I've graduated. I'm now going to go to Rwanda and start a ministry and live there and live with my people and preach the word of God. Possibly rent a house and bring in some young people to live with me. We can begin a ministry around that. But one night before I left, God changed my direction. I love to preach. And I had no plans of spending years in school. I just wanted to go. Now here in Uganda, I met a professor from Oregon. And this guy was teaching at Mount Noma, a biblical seminary, and also working for Louis Palau. He had come to Uganda to prepare some events for evangelists to come from Louis Palau and preach in Uganda. And Tim told me, I'm a professor, I work for Louis Palau. And Tim, that day, Dr. Tim Robnett, he wanted someone to translate for him. And I used to do a lot of translation for missionaries. So I translated it for him. Tim told me about his school. 3 to 4 months later, I found myself here in Portland visiting with Dr. Tim Robnett and spending 2 weeks at Mount Noma. And while I was at Mount Noma, I felt God was calling me to go to Rwanda, but also God was opening up a door for me to get advanced training at Mount Noma. A little bit confusing because I felt the world out there is dying without Jesus Christ, and I'm going to spend years going to school here. I prayed, and God clearly was showing us, you are going to come to Mount Noma. But then Mount Noma wanted us to pay a lot of money to come to school, which was another barrier. $20,000 a year when you are making $25 a week does not make sense. I decided to go back home. And I prayed for 4 months. And in those 4 months, God was opening up a door in Rwanda, but also God was opening up another door in Oregon. I was confused. But we decided to follow and come to America because in 4 months, God provided $20,000 for us to come to Mount Noma for the first year. And we had pledges for the following year. So we came to Mount Noma. I graduated from Mount Noma with my master's degree. My wife graduated from Mount Noma with her master's degree. But something significant that happened to me when I came to Mount Noma was that my professor told me, I want you to sit down and do an internship with me. And I worked for him, and my job was to write my ministry, which I'd never done before when I was in college. And for 5 months, I wrote a master plan for what would become African New Life Ministries. And after writing the plan, I felt this is what was on my heart. This is what I've been praying for all these years. Before we finished the seminary, I decided to go back home to start African New Life Ministries. And later on came back here to finish school. And we went home on a summer trip with my wife and our son. Spent time in Rwanda praying and asking God, God, what do you want us to do for you? And during that time, a small church called the Rockway Community Church on the coast had given me a small gift, which we used to buy soccer balls from Portland and took them to Rwanda. So we distributed the soccer balls, had my own summer mission trip with my wife and my son in Rwanda. And while we were in Rwanda, we felt God was telling us, if you guys don't do something, nothing is going to happen about this plan you've put together. Now I remember my wife had made some money babysitting children in Portland. So I told Florence, I would like you to give me the money you are saving. She was saving the money for us to buy property in Rwanda to build a house when we return home to start ministry. And all of you in the ministry, you know what that means, to have your own property, house, and not pay rent. because we didn't know what we were going to make. So that was going to provide security for our family. But Florence agreed to give me the money. So we took the money, $500, started a smaller preschool. We rented the preschool a house for $100. And also hired a teacher for about $50. Bought a few pieces of furniture, put them in the school. A friend of mine in Portland had given me a gift of a digital camera. The big ones with a floppy disk. And so I had a packet of floppy disks moving everywhere. And I took pictures of all the kids, 30 of them or 29. And I carried those pictures back with me to Portland. And I started asking people to sponsor children. In less than 2 months, we had all the 30 kids sponsored. And the school was now sustainable in Rwanda. That's how African New Life Ministry started. Today, we sponsor 4,000 children in 3 different communities. The school, you've seen the school here. The school we started out is now the best school in the eastern province of Rwanda. We've planted 3 churches. This month, next year, we are planting a new church. In fact, I was talking to Pastor Chris that I would like your church to get involved in this new community of Bujesera where we are just starting out. A government has given us a school there because they don't know how to run schools. It seems we are doing a better job. They gave us a school 1 year ago, a public school, and we transformed the public school in 1 year to become the best public school in that district. So now we've taken on another one. We preach the gospel in the school, provide the education and food, and then build a church in that community. So we want you to be part of that new community in Bujesera. We are starting out. In September, we'll be launching out to a Bible college in Rwanda to train pastors in the country of Rwanda. So God has done amazing things with African New Life Ministries. While I was writing my plan, I started developing this vision. And the vision was, you preach the gospel, but at the same time, you meet the physical needs of the poor. I call it serving God with 2 hands. 1 hand is the hand of proclaiming the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we can't compromise that. But also the other hand is the hand of action, putting the gospel in action. By loving those people who are marginalized, who are poor, who are orphaned, who are widowed, and providing opportunities to transform their lives. I want to read with you from the book of Mark, chapter 5, verse 30, as I talk about this gospel of compassion. Preaching the gospel with 2 hands, proclamation and compassion. Mark, chapter 6. Verse 30. The Bible says, the apostles returned to Jesus. Now, if you live a life packed with actions, you love the Gospel of Mark. Mark doesn't waste time. I mean, he's from one action to another action. Mark is not into a lot of theology. No, he's just telling what happened, and he does it very quickly. Mark chapter 6 verse 30 says, the apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. If you want, you can underline done and taught. Okay? Done and taught. And he said to them, come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest for a while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. Sounds like a very busy ministry. Verse 33, now many saw them going and recognized them. And they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. And when they got ashore, they saw a great crowd. And the Bible says Jesus had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. Jesus saw a crowd. And when Jesus saw the crowd was like sheep without a shepherd. Let me tell you, a shepherd is a very important person to the sheep. Without the sheep will get lost. In fact, sheep seems to be getting lost all the time. And Jesus saw all the sheep and said, these people, they look like sheep. They are lost. They are without hope. And the Bible says Jesus had compassion on them. And I like what Jesus did. The Bible says he began to teach them. He began to instruct them. He had compassion on them and he began to teach them. Jesus Christ shows his compassion to the crowd by teaching them. And that's very important for us to teach the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot. I know many people who have decided to do compassion ministries without teaching the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is totally wrong. It's not one or the other. It's both. It's proclamation and compassion at the same time, being done at the same time, no separation. It's not like the separation of state and church. It's combined. It's the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says he had compassion on them. He taught the crowd and he also fed them. I want you to know that Jesus Christ, first and foremost, he took care of their spiritual needs. He recognized that people have spiritual needs. I know some people who want to take care of the physical needs of the poor without taking care of their spiritual needs. Let me tell you, we both have spiritual poverty and physical poverty. And taking care of physical poverty without taking care of spiritual poverty, you cause more damage than what people at that time are going through. So that's why I'm a great advocate of this gospel, the gospel of two hands, preaching and compassion at the same time. We have to exalt the name of Jesus Christ in all the nations. Christ has sent us to go in all the nations and make disciples. That is our mission, to go make disciples. I know some people are beginning to compromise on this issue of making disciples. Some people will say, you know, we have to leave them to make their decisions. Is they can decide what they want to decide. No way. We have to speak out and not be ashamed of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, because the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ is the power unto salvation. It's what saves people. Let me tell you, it does not matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter how much education you have. It doesn't matter how much influence you have. If it doesn't matter how many GPSs you have. I want to let you know, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and you are not following him, the truth of the word of God is that you are lost. You are lost. And you need Jesus. A sheep lost without Christ. We need to call upon people to come back to Jesus. And let me tell you, Jesus alone is the way. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am life. Jesus is the way. No other. This Jesus came from heaven, born by a virgin woman, born to die on the cross. He died for our sins. He was buried, and the grave could not contain him because he is the Son of God. And on the third day, he rose from the dead. And our Jesus is alive. And he's a savior. And he saves whosoever calls him. That is our mission to Rwanda. We want people to call upon Christ and be saved. But at the same time, look at this Jesus. He preaches the gospel. But look at verse 35. He says, and when, verse 35 says, and when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, it's done. We are done with preaching the gospel. You know, they've heard you teach. Let them go home. Send them away. Let them go away into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. Let them go. We are done. You know, we've discipled them. We've taught them the gospel. Let them. And Jesus said, come on, wait a little bit. But he answered to them, don't tell them to go. You give them something to eat. Pull out the second hand. Finish the mission. Don't just teach, but also show love. Take care of these people. And he said to them, shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of food and give it to them to eat? That was their saying, Jesus, this is too expensive. It's not affordable. It's 200 denarii to feed these people. This is too much. Obviously, how many people think it's too expensive to do missions? It's a lot of money. It's going to cost too much. I want to let you know, I love Jesus. Because Jesus was not thinking about, Jesus was not an accountant. Okay? He was not thinking about the cost. He always thought about the value of the person, the mission. Thank God he wasn't an accountant. And thank God for the accountants, obviously. Jesus Christ, they said to her, Jesus said to them, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. And when they had found out, they said, we have fish. We have five loaves and two fish. Two fish. 5,000 people. How can we feed all these people? I remember when I went to Rwanda, I looked at the people and the need was enormous, was big. How can you help all these orphaned children? There are so many. They don't have a place to stay. Can you house all of them? Can you feed each of them? In fact, that's why I started saying you cannot change the whole world, but you can change the world for one person, putting value on one person. Obviously, it's very interesting when you start having that attitude of changing one by one, you finally touch crowds. We started by 9 children. We moved on to 30. And now we are touching 4,000. It has become a crowd. Let me tell you, with only 5 pieces of fish and 2 loaves of bread in the hands of Christ, miracles can happen. Christ is a Christ who proved himself in many ways that he does miracles. The Bible says that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the same. He still performs miracles. He provides for us when we reach out to meet the needs of the poor and start ministering to them. He will do miracles. I have seen Christ do amazing miracles. I remember when we were building our first school, we had a big crisis. The crisis was that the government had given a permit to the Muslims to build a school in the same community we wanted to build a school. And they told us, we cannot allow you to build a school here because we don't want you to fight with Muslims. We don't want Christians and Muslims to fight. So they told us, you cannot. And we prayed. And the Muslims failed to get money to build the school. And when they failed to get the money, they gave us the opportunity to build the school. But we also did not have cash to build the school, and we had a smaller window of opportunity. And we prayed. And one guy here in Portland, who is not even a believer, he's an atheist, friend of mine, a lawyer, downtown Portland, he told me, Charles, I'm going to help you. He rode a bicycle across America. And he raised over $20,000. And he gave me the money to go build the school. And we built the school before the Muslims built the school. And today, Muslim children are coming to go to school in our school and are giving their lives to Jesus Christ. That is a miracle. To me, that's like a five pieces of fish and two loaves of bread. It's a miracle. How do you cross the bridge? Only Christ can help us cross the bridge. You know, in Africa, we have an African, an African story. And the African story goes like this. We have a small insect, very small insect. And this small insect is called Munyera. And Munyera is smaller than a fly. Very small insect. And this small insect one day climbed on the top of a big elephant. And this big elephant, as the elephant walked, it walked towards the bridge. And the elephant started shaking the bridge. And after they had crossed the bridge, the small insect shouted and said, "We have shaken the bridge. We have shaken the bridge." I want to let you know, Jesus is bigger than the elephant. And we are the small insect. And when we put our lives in his hands and trust him, we can shake bridges. We can shake nations. We can do miracles through his name. We can transform communities and see how Jesus transformed these lives. The Bible says in verse 39, then he commanded them to sit down in groups on the green grass. I mean, you don't have the food yet, but you are asking them to sit down. So they sat down in groups by hundreds and fifties. And taking the five loaves and the two fish, he looked up to heaven and he said a blessing and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the two fish among them all. He fed all of them. 5,000 men, women are not counted, children are not counted. He fed them all. He did a miracle. And we can, with him, serve the crowd. We can minister to those pressing needs in our communities, overseas, in our neighborhoods, when we are with him. I call it ordinary people doing extraordinary things. It's not about the extraordinary. That's what I like about African New Life Ministries. It's not about very rich people and very powerful foundations giving to African New Life Ministries. It's ordinary people going out to serve and meeting the needs of the poor and praying and trusting God that God will come out finally and do a miracle for us. And God has always come out. We've always looked to him. The Bible says Jesus Christ looked into heaven. He looked into heaven. You know, we are living in a time where people have forgotten to look into heaven. They are looking into their bank accounts. They are looking into their abilities. They are looking into what they can do in their own strength. I come from a country where some people still ask God and say, Lord, we ask you to provide our daily bread. They don't have bread in the fridge. Every day they have to go to the Father and ask for their daily bread. And I'm surprised that no one dies. You go back and find out that the people are still alive. Somehow the Heavenly Father provides. Because heaven is stable. Heaven does not have a financial crisis. Do you know that? It doesn't. Heaven is stable. In fact, the Bible says that the roads in heaven are built out of gold. I mean, the New Jerusalem city we are going to is really built out of that currency which doesn't change. It's stable. And as we continue to trust him and look to him, he provides the 200 denarii we need. The mission, it belongs to him. He has called us to go and serve him. And he has, and as we go and not compromise the gospel and not compromise the love and do it just as the Bible says, God will be with us. God will show himself to be powerful. God will transform lives and save people and bring new life. This God of the gospel, this Jesus who teaches about the kingdom of God, he's also concerned about our physical needs. Christianity recognizes that we have physical and spiritual needs. Some people are heavenly minded and earthly no good. I mean, there are some Christians whom you don't want to be your neighbors. Because they are so heavenly minded. It's like they are going to go to heaven tomorrow. And they are not concerned about the physical. Christ, I want Jesus to be my neighbor. If I lived in Jerusalem, I would want to be a neighbor to Jesus. Because Jesus came from heaven, was heavenly minded. But this God, Jesus Christ, who came from heaven, he was also mindful of our hunger. He was also mindful of our ignorance. He was also mindful of our physical bodies and provided healing. Sometimes I've said, if Jesus was still here, and if Jesus was going to live here longer than the number of years he lived here doing ministry, he would have his own Northwest medical team going to different areas to minister to people. He was concerned. You know, Jesus Christ knew that this earth is populated with people who are lost. And Jesus' mission was to depopulate hell through love, through compassion and teaching, and populate heaven. And let me tell you, that's the mission of the church. Our mission is to love people and teach them about the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. Depopulate hell and populate heaven. God doesn't want anybody to go to hell, by the way. It's their choice. He wants us to depopulate hell and populate heaven. I believe that there's enough space for anyone who decides to follow him. There's enough space in heaven for all of us. And that's what I'm passionate about. I am passionate about those who are lost without Christ. That's why no one should hear the gospel two times when there's someone who has never heard the gospel. Everyone has a right. I think they should put this in the UN rights. A right to hear the gospel. I mean, that is your human right. A right to hear the gospel. Because that is so important. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ is transformational. Meets your spiritual and physical needs and transforms your life forever. That is the call. That is the mission of African New Life Ministries. Transforming communities, transforming lives and communities through proclaiming the gospel and the acts of compassion. At the same time, and I want to call upon the church all over the world to come back to the truth of God's word. I know we've elevated the word. I am a believer in the word. I put the word number one. I must preach and study the word. That's why we are building the Bible College. Because in Rwanda, 5% of our pastors have gone to Bible College. Only 5% have been to Bible College. 95% have not. And that's wonderful. We want to do that. We want to teach the word. But we want to put action to our words. We want to put love to our words. We want to be real Christians living in a broken world and touching that broken world in the name of Jesus Christ. It's wonderful when the government does some kind of project to help the poor. That's wonderful. Let the government do it, okay? It's wonderful when the government gives out some handouts. But I have found out that handouts from the government are not transformational. Only what comes out of the body of Jesus Christ is what is transformational. Because that food comes with the living food, the word of God from heaven. That's why, come on, we have an incredible task and a responsibility. We know as a church how to really do it well. Because we preach and teach and love people. We don't just give them handouts, but we transform them by that love Christ has given us. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we come before you. Lord, I want to pray specifically for someone who may be here today and he doesn't know you. And he hasn't given his life to you. Jesus, I ask you to speak to their hearts and I ask you to draw them to salvation and show them the love of Christ. God, I want to thank you for this church. I want to thank you for the ministry of the saints who come out of this place to go and minister to those who are broken in Portland, to those who are lost in South America. Ministries to Uganda, ministries to Rwanda. Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I even pray for a greater outburst of ministries and missions and service and proclamation of the good news and teaching the gospel, but at the same time, taking care of those who are marginalized, showing them the love of Jesus Christ, feeding them, delivering them from prostitution and ignorance, and introducing them to the kingdom of God, which is truth. Father, may you bless your people. May you bless the pastors. May you bless this congregation. May you bless the elders. And may you continue to show yourself powerful among your people. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Yeah.